Thanks a lot for checking out the Church on the Rock message this week. We would love to help you get closer to God. The best way to do that is to visit cotr.org/connect. Or if you are not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Wow, they got a big old table up here for me. So what an amazing church this is. And the praise and worship, that was just incredible, wasn't it? And y'all get that every Sunday. What a blessed church. And I want to say to you how much my family loves this family. Thank you for honoring my precious daddy and the Savelle family for so many years. I didn't realize it went back to the 80s, but I knew that you and daddy sure love cars, classic cars. People would ask me all the time, what kind of classic cars does your dad have? And I would say, oh my gosh, a red one, a black one. I don't speak cars, so anyway. But I was scheduled to be here last year, and my dad, Jerry Savelle, unexpectedly just went to heaven. And it sort of knocked the breath out of the Savelle family. It just caught us off guard, you know, because he had preached for an hour the night before in California. Went to his hotel room, woke up the next morning, got dressed, made a little cup of tea, preparing to fly home to Dallas, and he sent a text to his office at 7:30 in the morning and said, I want you to sow a big seed and pay off this lady's hospital bills and send it overnight. Daddy walked to his closet and instantly went to heaven. And you know, that was such a message to me because my dad lived to give. And his last act on this earth was sowing seed. Isn't that amazing? I know. I know Pastor Kim, when the offering went by, she said, you don't need to give. I said, it's in my blood. Daddy taught me to always give something. Always give something. So I just want to say how honored I am to be with y'all. And I'm believing that it's a divine appointment that you're here today. You know, one of my mentors is John Maxwell, and he came up with a law he calls the law of the rubber band. And he said, if you want to go to the next level, you have to be stretched, right? So I believe we're going to stretch a little bit this morning. And I thought I would share one of the most life-changing lessons I ever learned from my favorite preacher, Jerry Savelle. So this is what has truly impacted my life the most from my father. Do y'all want to hear it? Okay, so before let me tell you what the title is. It's How to Attract God's Favor. My dad walked in more favor than anyone I've ever known in my life. I mean, the favor of God was so obvious on his life. And I want to just share things that I watched or observed seeing my dad walk in God's favor. So before I tell you these points, I have four keys for you. Have any of you ever heard of the law of attraction? Okay, in the business world, I got some magnets. In the business world, they call it the law of attraction. And basically what they're saying is that your mind is like a magnet, that whatever gets in your mind and stays there, you will attract it in your life, right? And it works positively and it works negatively. So just as an example, if you're constantly thinking that you'll never have any friends, guess what you're gonna attract? No friends. If you're constantly thinking that you'll never have enough money, you'll always be broke, guess what you're going to attract? Poverty and lack. Well, the opposite is true. If you're constantly thinking the favor of God is on my life, everywhere I go, favor goes before me, guess what you're going to attract? The favor of God, right? Well, the law of attraction is so powerful that, did you know it's been proven that people who come to America from other countries are 3 to 4 times more likely to become millionaires than those of us who are born here? You know why? Because they have it so programmed in their mind that America is a land of opportunity. It's a place where dreams come true. If I could just get to America, I know I'll be a millionaire. They get here and they walk right to it like a magnet, right? Well, the world calls this the law of attraction. God calls it Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinks in his heart, so does he become, right? So my dad ingrained in me to expect the favor of God. Just declare it, expect it everywhere you go. So I remember years ago, I was getting ready to speak at some conferences over in London, England. So I got to the airport, Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, and I put my luggage on the scale, and the lady behind the desk, she said, ma'am, your luggage is overweight. I said, imagine that, you know. Then she said to me, she goes, you know what? I'm not even going to charge you the overweight price. I turned to my daughter and I said, that's the favor of God. Well, then we flew to London. We're checking in the hotel, and the guy behind the desk with the cute little British accent, he said, today is your lucky day. I said, what happened? He said, I just took hundreds of pounds off your hotel bill. I turned to Cassidy. I said, that's the favor of God, right? Well, then the last day of the trip, I had one day to just kind of play and sightsee around London. So I found this man outside selling tickets for the double-decker bus. So I walked up to him. I said, I need one adult ticket, one child price ticket. And he looked at me and he said, I'm just going to charge you two child price tickets. I turned to Cass. I said, I don't know if it's my voice or what, but that is the favor of God, right? Because I know you were thinking it, right? She sounds like she's seven. So anyway, what I'm saying is when you start expecting favor, you're going to walk right to it like a magnet. So this year specifically, the Lord said to me, you will walk under my umbrella of favor. I just happen to have a baby umbrella. And I thought, umbrella of favor, is that a thing? Well, then I went to Psalm 5:12 and listened to what it says. It says, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround us with your favor as with a shield. I looked up a definition of shield and it said umbrella. So the Lord said, you will walk under my umbrella of favor. So I bought these little tiny umbrellas for my whole staff. I passed them out to everybody and I said, let's put this on the desk, or some of them have it hanging above their desk as our reminder to constantly expect it, declare it, that we're walking under the umbrella of favor. And do you know that this has been the most phenomenal year of walking under God's umbrella of favor as never before? Is that coincidental? Not one bit, right? So I want to tell you real quick what God's favor on your life will do. Because you might be like, favor, like what is that? Well, my dad researched and studied the favor of God so much, like 55 years. He discovered 10 benefits of walking in God's favor. I'm not going to go through all of them, but let me just read a few to you real quick. One of them is that God's favor will produce supernatural increase. In other words, something you've been trying to accomplish for years financially, God could do it in one moment. And even on another level, like, for instance, we started applying these principles for favor. Our Instagram channel took us 10 years to get to 100,000 followers. In a matter of months, we more than doubled. That's supernatural increase, isn't it? So another one is God's favor restores everything the enemy has stolen from you. How many of you want that kind of restoration? I have a friend who their marriage was falling apart. They filed bankruptcy. They were living in a rental property. They started declaring God's favor like never before. He restored their marriage. He got an amazing job, and he said they just bought their dream house. That's serious restoration, isn't it? Here's another one. God's favor increases your assets, especially in the area of real estate. That's a good one, isn't it? I'll just read a few more. It gives you advantages that other people don't have. It opens doors that you could never open on your own. You don't pay the world's price for things. And here's another one. God's favor will give you God-inspired ideas that produce great wealth. Anybody want that kind of favor? Okay, let me tell you a definition of favor, and then I'm going to give you these four keys real quick. One definition of favor is to endorse. So, you know, some of you, I don't know if you've ever written a book, but when you write a book, if you ask someone to endorse your book, that means typically you're asking someone who may have a bigger audience, maybe a little more influence, and when they put their name on your book, it instantly gives you a little more credibility, right? So let me ask you real quick, have any of you ever heard of this book right here, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, by Robert Kiyosaki? Most of you have probably read this book. Well, do you know that you probably would have never even heard of this book? Because Robert Kiyosaki, when he wrote the book, he couldn't get a publisher. So he self-published it, and he sold 48 copies. That's it, four dozen. all of a sudden, it got into the hands of Oprah Winfrey. She endorsed the book, and in one night, it sold over 100,000 copies. Now he's sold over 30 million copies. Well, I love the way Joel Osteen says this. He says, get ready. The creator of the universe is about to endorse you. So I heard someone say it like this, that one touch of God's favor will take you further than a lifetime of labor. So are you ready for these four keys? Okay, so number one is you have to see where you want to go. See where you want to go. In other words, clarity about what you want is one of the single most important keys to success. So what I mean by this is when you're asking God to favor you, don't just say, Lord, I'm believing your favor will produce increase. Well, here's 20 bucks and there's your increase. No, what does God's favor on your life look like to you? Like, define it. So do you remember the story where God asked Jeremiah? He said, Jeremiah, what do you see? And Jeremiah told him, he said, I see the branch of an almond tree blossoming in the winter. And God said, you've seen well. Then he said, I'm watching over my word to perform it. Then he came back to Jeremiah a second time. He said, Jeremiah, what do you see? What if Jeremiah had said, nothing? If you see nothing, you can expect nothing. You have to see where you want God's favor to take you. So when I began to learn these principles of success, I started getting crystal clear on where I wanted to see God's favor take me. So y'all know the Bible says where there is no vision, you perish. But then God's word also says you have to write the vision, right? I'm from Texas, so this is just a regular pencil. So you have to take the time to write the vision. Don't leave it in your head, right? So years ago, when I started learning this, I thought, okay, if I could just dream up crazy big things, what would it be? So I'm just going to share a few with you real quick. So I said, well, one of my dreams would be to write books and impact people with books. So I went and I stood in front of a bookstore acting like I'm a successful author. Hadn't even written a book, right? But I'm just writing the vision and making it plain. Well, then I thought, I would love to see my books translated into 5 different languages. So I wrote out these different languages, Dutch, German, French, Spanish, English. I just put all these different languages. Well, one of them I'm just going to show you was German. I don't speak German. I speak English and French. Never been to Germany. Don't know anyone in Germany. But I put a map of Germany, and I said, my books are translated into German. Do you see how clear I'm being? Okay, here's another one. I just sat at my desk one day and I Googled, what is the biggest church in America? And at the time, Lakewood Church popped up, Joel Osteen's church. So I put a picture of Lakewood and I said, I'm invited to speak at the biggest church in America. At the time, the most I'd ever preached to was about 300 people. This is like 40,000 people, right? So then I put another picture of public schools. And I said, I want to impact young people and teach them how to make their dreams bigger than their memories. I don't know how you do that, but I just put a picture of school buildings and said, I want to get my stuff in the schools. Here's one more. I put a picture of the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. My husband said, you still want to be? I said, no, I want to minister to the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. So anyway, I'm showing you this because there's a principle in God's word that you become what you behold. You become what you behold. Whatever you keep before your eyes, it will eventually show up in your life. So here's the proof. Here I am walking in Barnes & Noble and seeing my books on a shelf, not just posing in front of a bookstore. Here I am 7 months after I put a map of Germany. My assistant, Donna, got an email from a man saying, I want to invite Terry to speak in Stuttgart, Germany, and meet with the biggest publisher in the nation. Wow. Is that a coincidence? Now my books are in German. Here we are. I'm driving through Missouri one day. I spoke at a conference in this state on my way to the airport, and all of a sudden a text popped up on my phone, and it said, hey, Terry, this is Victoria Osteen. I want to invite you to come speak at the conference at Lakewood Church. Is that a coincidence? I could just keep going. Here's public schools and Christian schools using my vision board curriculum. here I am on the 50-yard line of the AT&T Stadium teaching the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because when the vision is clear, the results will appear. When the vision is clear, the results will appear. So, do you remember in the Bible when God said, it says when Jesus saw their faith? Do you remember that? When Jesus saw their faith? Here's my question. Can Jesus see your faith? What are you believing for this year? Whatever it is, take the time to write it down and keep it in front of your eyes. I found out this right here is one of the biggest keys to success. Every success conference I've ever been to and ever spoken at, someone is gonna tell you, write the vision, make it plain. They say, don't just think it, ink it, right? So let me just ask you real quick. What does God's favor on your life look like to you? Does it mean you finished one more semester of college? Or you got your degree? Does it mean I paid off the MasterCard, $7,456.12? Does it mean you stood on the scale and you like the number you see? What is that number? Does it mean you're driving your dream car? You got engaged. You found the person you've been believing for. What does God's favor on your life look like to you? One more key I'm going to give you, and I'll go through the others fast. Here's how I like to tell people to set goals. Let's imagine it's December 31st of this year, because we still have a lot of year left, don't we? Let's imagine it's December 31st of this year. It's New Year's Eve. You've got your party hat on, and you turn to your friend on New Year's Eve, and you say, this has been the most amazing favor-filled year I've ever had in my life. What would need to happen for you to say that? Whatever it is, write it down. You got it? Okay, so number two is say where you want to go. Say where you want to go. Now, let me explain it like this. Job 22:28 says, thou shalt decree a thing, and it will be established unto you. Now, the next part says, and the light of God's favor will shine upon your ways. So there's a connection between declaring favor and experiencing favor. In other words, you can't just write your dreams and expect them to magically happen. You have to call those things that be not as though they are, right? This morning, I woke up in Rockwall, Texas, and I got my book of dreams out, and I spoke the favor of God. Every single day, speak where you want to go, right? So let me just tell you this. I gave my team, when I told them that the Lord put it on my heart that we're going to walk under the umbrella of favor, I gave everybody 10 scriptures on favor, and I put like a little blank line for you to put your name in there. And I said, let's speak these out every single morning. And then I gave them my dad's list of the 10 benefits of God's favor, which I told you some of them a while ago. God's favor produces supernatural increase, promotion, restores everything the enemy has stolen, increases your assets in real estate. It produces recognition even when you seem the least likely to receive it. That's a good one, isn't it? God's favor gives you preferential treatment. God's favor produces battles won that you don't even have to fight because God is fighting it for you. These are so good, aren't they? And then I gave them these scriptures, and I said, put your name in there and just speak them out. So you're saying things like, and Terry won the favor of everyone who saw her. It is time to show favor to Terry. The appointed time has come. So imagine speaking these out every single day. Have you ever heard this statement that if you want to know where your life is headed, listen to the words that are coming out of your mouth, right? So I told my team, let's speak these out. And I said, and also, let's document our favor stories. Like, keep a little journal. And every time you experience God's favor, let's write it down. So I asked some of them are here with me today. I said, tell me some of your favor stories. Well, they sent me an email with all these favor stories. Can I just read a few to you real quick? Okay, so listen to this. Tony, who's here today, he and his wife, Donna, they switched their car and house insurance and saved $10,000. Jessica said she got a gas well check from a house she sold 10 years ago. Got a check in the mail. Haley said she bought some tennis shoes and they gave her $40 off because they were accidentally marked wrong. She said, that's the favor of God. Then she said her pipes burst during a freeze we had in February, and she said the plumbers came out and replaced them at no cost. She was like, that's the favor of God. Donna got upgraded to first class on a trip to Colorado for no charge. That's preferential treatment. Listen to this. One said, my family vacation was $3,000 less than the original price. Another one said, our son was let back on the basketball team halfway through the season. That's preferential treatment. One of them said, we saved $900 on our mission trip. Another one said, she found a couch, and when she went to pay for it, it was 50% off what it said on the floor. I mean, I could just keep going. So one of the girls who's on our prayer team, she said, I prayed with a lady last week to receive some money that was owed to her deceased husband. She didn't know if she would get the money because he earned that money before they were married. But she said, what does God's favor do? It produces great victories in the midst of great impossibilities. Battles are won. You don't have to fight because God will fight them for you. After we prayed the favor of God, 3 days later, she got a direct deposit of $11,000. Isn't that awesome? So my point is, the moment that you start declaring favor, things start changing. You got it? Okay, so you have to say where you want to go. Can I tell you one more story real quick? So did y'all hear the one benefit that my dad discovered? And it was that God's favor increases your assets in the area of real estate. So my husband and I, we've been declaring this for years. Our assets are increasing in the area of real estate. So one day my husband was driving. He drove past this junkyard over and over and over to get to one of his properties. And one day he noticed a for sale sign in a junkyard, okay? A junkyard, like with tons of junk on it. And he asked some people in town, he said, do y'all know anything about the junkyard? And they said, well, I know years ago it was for sale for $1 million, but they said, I think the man came down to about 700,000. So Rodney called the man that's selling the junkyard, and the guy said he would come down to 400,000. But what does the favor of God do? You don't pay the world's price for things. My husband got the junkyard, this is a true story, for $289,000. It gets even better. We got all the junk and had a company come out and crush the metal. They paid us $100,000 for the metal. Now we cleaned it off and we rent the building out, and it's making money every month. I told my husband, find another junkyard, find another junkyard. That's the favor of God though, isn't it? There's no other explanation than the favor of God on your real estate. So how many of you want that kind of favor? Yes, we can increase in favor, right? Okay, step number three is step where you wanna go. Step where you wanna go. Now let me explain it like this. What I mean by that is you have to take action. I heard someone say, well, obviously the Bible says it like this, faith without action is dead. So it's one thing to write your dreams and goals. It's another thing to speak to your dreams and goals. Call those things that be not as though they are. But you also have to put action behind it, right? I can't just say I'm a best-selling author. I have to actually sit down and write a book when nobody's asking me for a manuscript, right? Because you're writing based on the vision you have on the inside. So I heard a success coach say it like this. He said, the one thing that separates winners from losers more than anything else is winners take action. They don't just sit there and wish things would change. They get up and take action. So let me tell you a true story real quick. And this was about a mom, a single mom, who's sitting in church just like this. And when the offering was about to go by, she said she heard the Lord say, I want you to pledge to give $1,000 and give it within 30 days. She just sat there going, Lord, you know where I'm at financially. I'm a single mom. I don't have $1,000 just laying around. But the Lord said, trust me. So she said, okay. So she wrote it down. I pledge to give $1,000 within 30 days. So she goes home and she starts declaring God's favor. Lord, give me God-inspired ideas. Well, all of a sudden, the Lord reminded her how at Christmas last year, when she didn't have money to buy gifts for her family and friends, she would make little hair bows and barrettes. And they were very creative, real unique styles, and her family loved them. Well, the Lord reminded her of that. So she thought, I could make some of those bows and maybe I could sell them. So she called a friend of hers who owns a boutique, and she said, if I made some of my barrettes, would you mind if I set up a little table and come sell them? Her friend said, no, you can come this weekend. So she sets up a little table, and she said she made like 20 or 30 different designs of these hair bows. She's sitting there one Saturday morning selling her bows, and people would come by and buy one or two at a time, you know. All of a sudden, this one lady comes over, picks up the bow, and she's really inspecting it. I mean, she's looking at every little detail. She'd put it down, pick up another one, really inspect it. Then she asked her, she said, did you make these? She said, yes, ma'am, I made every one of them. She said, okay, I'll take $50,000. Wow. She was a buyer for Nordstrom department store. She said in one moment, the favor of God took her from an idea to a profession that changed her life. Isn't that amazing? So the Bible says faith without action is dead. So let me give you an example real quick. I brought these favor bundles for the church this morning. And in this bundle, I have a dreams and goals notebook, just like mine. And there's places in here for you to put pictures of what you're believing for. And then you document your progress so it keeps you focused. And then when your dream manifests, you put a picture of it. And I'm telling you, when you start getting clear on what you're believing for, this is gonna boost your faith like never before because you have all this proof. Look what God did. Of course he's gonna do the next thing. It's just a faith booster. And I designed these dream journals because it also has a place to document your personal growth, like the books you're reading, the conferences you're going to. There's a place for gratitude, some of my favorite scriptures in here. Anyway, there's a dream journal. There's also my new book that just came out on walking under the umbrella of God's favor, the favor advantage, with those scriptures and the benefits from my Father. And then I also added something special that I really wanted y'all to have. It's five messages. One of them is straight from my dad. I got his audio on walking in the 10 benefits of God's favor. It's on here. And then I have four other messages on here. One of them is about how to prepare for what you're praying for. Because see, I heard Coach John Wooden say this. He said, when opportunity comes, it's too late to prepare. You got to prepare now. So when God brings the opportunity, you're ready to seize it, right? So there's five messages on here. And the reason I'm showing you this is I just wanted to know, does anybody feel like this would help you? Like help you get focused, help you get clear on your dreams and goals? Do you think it would help you get the mindset of favor? Because see, you have to start becoming favor-minded where you're looking for it everywhere you go. Does anybody want this bundle? Okay, you can have it. There you go. So the reason I did that is because what did she do? She took action, right? And here's what I've discovered when it comes to taking action. It requires you to get out of your comfort zone. I'm more likely to be way back there and not even think about coming forward. But I've discovered if I'm going to live my dreams, I have to get comfortable being uncomfortable, right? So do you remember the story in the Bible when the four sick guys took their friend to meet Jesus? And when they got there, it was so crowded they couldn't get in. You remember? Yeah. Well, most of us would just assume it must not be God's will because if it was, there'd be room to get in. But they didn't do that, did they? They climbed on top of the roof with a grown man in a stretcher, tore the shingles off the roof, lowered the man in front of Jesus. And the Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven, and he healed the man. Well, when I read that, I think, how in the world can Jesus see faith? Because faith is invisible. He saw their action. He saw these guys are willing to do what most people would never do. Can I be honest with you? Most people will never take the time to write their dreams and goals. They won't. In fact, only 3% of Americans do this, but they're the most successful ones in the world. Most people will never go in a little guest bedroom or in your study and call those things that be not as though they are, because you feel like a weirdo, right? Most people would never write a book when nobody's asking for a manuscript. But we're not most people, right? The Lord said to me one time, don't be average and your life won't be average. I'm not gonna do what the average person does, right? Okay, so take action. Okay, and number four, you're getting it? Yes. Number four is sow where you want to go. S-O-W, sow where you want to go. So I learned this principle by watching my mom and dad model this in front of me my whole life. Daddy would always say, if you have a need, sow a seed. He would say, anytime you talk to God about your needs, he'll talk to you about sowing seeds. And we know that a farmer knows this. You're never going to have carrots if you don't sow carrot seeds, right? I just happen to have a carrot. It's crazy. But this is so ingrained in me that you have to sow where you want to go. You can't just expect God to just give you all that if you're never going to put seed in the ground. So I came across this scripture in Genesis 26, where it was talking about there was a famine in the land. And famine, you know, means scarcity, lack, drought, undersupply. But in verse 12, it says what Isaac chose to do during a famine. You ready for this? This is Genesis 26, 12. It says, Isaac sowed seed in that land. Which land? The land of famine. So when everyone else was holding on to their seed, Isaac chose to sow seed. But listen to what happened. It says, Isaac planted seed in that land and reaped in the same year 100 times as much as he planted. And you ready for this? And the Lord blessed and favored him. So you know what I did? I took the name Isaac out of that scripture. And I said, when Terry planted seed in that land, Terry reaped in the same year 100 times as much as she planted, and the Lord blessed and favored Terry. And I was thinking about this. So the Lord led me to that scripture. And then my dad ingrained in me, if you have a need, sow a seed. And so the Lord told me one day, he said, I want you to sow a memorable seed. I was like, a memorable seed? What is that? I guess it just means you don't forget, right? So instead of always sowing what you always sow, sow something memorable. So I wasn't trying to be goofy or anything, but I told my team, I said, let's sow 26:12 based on Genesis 26:12, because that makes it memorable. And let's believe God, we're gonna reap in the same year 100 times as much as we plant. So we did, we actually sowed 26:12. Sometimes it was $26.12, sometimes it was $2,612, sometimes it was $26,012, but we just kept sowing $26.12. We did that in the month of March. You ready for this? The first week of April, the ministry received more revenue than the whole month of March combined. Wow. In 1 week. So I told my team, let's get some more seed in the ground. Let's sow some more, 26:12. Well, then May broke April's records. Then June broke May's records. It was a record-breaking year when we chose to sow seed in famine and sow a memorable seed. And you know what I began to realize? That when you sow seed, three things happen. You ready for this? Yes. You reap what you sow. You reap after you sow, not before, and you reap more than you sow. You want me to repeat that? Yes. You reap what you sow, you reap after you sow, and you reap more than you sow. So I want to challenge you with this principle that God's favor is real and it's available to you. How many of you are going to take God at his word? Yes. So number one, I said, see where you want to go. Take the time to write the vision and make it plain. Number two, say where you want to go. Don't just leave it all in your head. Actually, use your voice to prophesy where you want your life to go. Speak those scriptures out loud. Speak those benefits out loud. Number three, step where you want to go. Start taking action. And number four is look for an opportunity to get seed in the ground so you can sow where you want to go. You got it? Okay, and like I said before, I don't know who said this, but they said one touch of God's favor will take you further than a lifetime of labor. You got it? Yes. Okay, is it okay if I mention this to you real quick, just to kind of tell you? So you heard what I brought, the dream routine planner for you to put pictures and images of what you're believing God for. And if we have that on the screen, I'd love to show you so that you see exactly what's in here. It's got my brand new book, The Favor Advantage, with all the scriptures and all the benefits of favor. And then there's 5 messages on this flash drive. One is from my dad, The 10 Benefits of God's Favor. I taught a message at a success conference called 7 Things Successful People Quit to Be Successful. So, and then the one I told you about on how to prepare for what you're praying for. So I've got all of this here, but I want to do something special for this church. We've had a relationship for a long time through my precious dad. So instead of 161, I don't know what exactly that number was. Do y'all want to show them that other slide? $77, is that good? So that's more than half off. So if you wait and get it on the website, it'll be that other price. But if you get it today, I want to be a blessing to this church. But I want you to fill this up with your dreams and goals. Can we do that? Okay, and that's a blessing, the 77? Okay, good. So I want to say this before I wrap it up. I cannot imagine trying to be successful without God on my side. You know, I know that every single thing, and of course, I watched my parents model this my whole life. Daddy was so grateful for every single thing God has done for us. And gratitude is one of my core values. We have a big gratitude wall at the ministry because I never, ever take for granted anything. This morning when I woke up in Rockwall, Texas, all I could say was, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this invitation to come to St. Louis and get to minister to y'all today. But I can't imagine trying to do all this without the Lord. And I want to compare something to you real quick. I just happen to have a little prop. How many of you ever watch an NFL football game and you see that little referee with the black and white striped shirt on? And all of a sudden, that referee, he might be 5'7", 150 pounds, and he blows a whistle. And all of a sudden, a 350-pound linebacker will stand at attention, and you sit there and go, how in the world, how does that little referee have so much power over that 350-pound linebacker? Well, see, the linebacker knows that the moment that ref blows the whistle, he's not coming in his own strength and power. He has the whole NFL backing him up, right? Well, do you know that's exactly what happens in the spirit realm? The moment you call on the name of Jesus, the moment you say, Jesus, I can't do any of this without you. Jesus, I would never want to go a day of my life without you on my side. The moment you cry out to Jesus, you now have all of heaven backing you up. So I would love all of you to just stand up for just a moment. And I just want to give you an opportunity to call on heaven. Because today could be a defining moment in your life, that July 20th is a moment where you draw a line in the sand and you say, I'm giving my past a burial and I'm not looking back. And I am now calling on Jesus to do what I could never do on my own. I want all of you to just close your eyes for just a minute. And if you feel like God is speaking to you today, that it's time to give the past a burial. You know, God told Lot and his wife, he said, don't look back. Lot's wife did the very thing God said don't do, and she was destroyed. You will be destroyed if you keep looking back. I want you to know everything God has for you is ahead of you. It's not behind you. And if you feel like God is speaking to you today, that it's time for a new beginning, I would love for you to lift your hands and let me pray over you. I see hands going up all over this auditorium right now. Thank you, Jesus. We have the right message. Well, how about every one of us lift our hands to heaven and let's just repeat this prayer after me. You know, just the fact that you're lifting your hands is tormenting to the devil. So just repeat this. Everybody repeat this after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare today is a new beginning. I repent of my sins. I ask you to forgive me. I declare Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross for me. I ask you into my heart. And I make you my Lord and Savior. And I declare today, I'm making my dreams bigger than my memories. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you like to keep growing in your faith? At Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's learning more about discovering what it means to join a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/connect, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you are part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.